Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed. At Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Right now, Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. They're accepting consignment and construction. And they're accepting consignments for construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call today and make some cash. 303-289-1600 or go to rollerauction.com/sell to inquire about selling.
You want to feel old? Just for a moment.
Sure.
Just for a moment.
Yeah.
49 years ago today.
I was alive.
Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Was released.
Scared the hell out of me going into the ocean.
49 years ago.
To this day, when I go to the ocean, dude, I am afraid of a shark. I really, truly, and then you see stuff on social media where sharks are swimming right at the shoreline.
Yes. Within 3 feet of water. I've seen them with my own eyes. That is a terrifying movie.
In movies, you have great soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to use Law and Order as an example.
Okay.
The TV show.
Yeah.
When you hear bum bum, you immediately think Law and Order.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So for as great as this is unmistakable.
Right.
If you are our age, you know exactly what Bingo. This movie is.
Exactly. And you never, ever, you don't see the shark until he comes up on the boat. I mean, it's nuanced. The shark is always there, but the music tells you what the shark is.
It's coming.
Oh, my God.
It is coming.
It was the first time that I saw it, I had literally chills. It was my mom's for that was Psycho.
Yeah.
The movie Psycho. She said she couldn't take a shower.
Right.
For months.
Right.
After the shower, the stabbing scene in the shower in Psycho. So we all have our little things, but Jaws, 49 years ago today, man.
Wow. I mean, when I didn't have a lot of money, I don't know if that was ever the case for you.
It was definitely the case.
And you're traveling. You have to stay at like a Motel 8. Sorry, Motel 8. And it kind of looks like the Bates Motel.
Yeah.
You're thinking, okay.
Yeah.
I want to get to know the guy behind the front desk.
Maybe.
A little bit more before I give him money for that key.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Do we do the lead yet? I totally
No, forgot. We haven't.
All right,
sorry,
time now. No, sorry.
The lead is brought to you by Beyond Stem Cells. Grow young with us by going to beyondstemcellsdenver.com or call 1-833-720-STEM.
NFL.com's Eric Edholm ranked the divisions based on quarterbacks. AFC North, number one. He puts the AFC West, number three. He said in the piece he could have made the AFC West second or fourth. He ranks them third, and that's really the power of Mahomes.
Sure.
That's the power of potential with Justin Herbert. I'll read the end of what he said. Mahomes and Herbert, the power of them, win out, but the bottom half of the AFC West has to exceed expectations even slightly in order for the division to rise. But even if the Broncos and Raiders don't maximize their quarterback performances, it's hard to put the AFC West QBs much lower because of those two guys. If Harbaugh maximizes Herbert's potential, and his potential is pretty much on display.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't win. Again, it reminds me of Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Okay.
He was with teams that, you know, didn't have a lot of talent around him, although Calvin Johnson was pretty good. But
they just didn't win with him.
But neither do the Chargers.
Right.
They don't win either. If Herbert turns out to be what we all think he can be, and we already know what Mahomes is, I really don't see, barring major injuries to those guys, I don't see how the Broncos are ever better than third in this division. And if they get in the playoffs, it's going to be a wild card. This is going to be a long slog, unless you believe so much in Bo Nix that
And you,
that he's going
to
go high.
And you can, although right now you don't have a reason to. And, right. And you can't make that argument right now. You said something that was good.
Really?
And reasonable and made sense in hour number one. Mahomes, Reed, that works. Harbaugh, Herbert, I'm betting on it.
Me too.
And Peyton Nix, I'm betting on it too. I may not be as firm about it as I am with Harbaugh and Herbert, but Herbert's got 4 years of, I look at him and say, this guy can be a tremendous quarterback.
Let's do some revisionist history here.
All right.
Harbaugh, Herbert work. In theory, they do, but in theory, they don't. Because Harbaugh is not designing an offense for Justin Herbert.
Right.
He is designing an offense to take the pressure off of Herbert, probably more of a run first, big offensive line. And for the amount that they are going to likely run the ball, Herbert is going to be able to play action you to death.
Well, that's the intention.
With no his question. Talent.
Right.
So if Harbaugh and Herbert work, what makes you think Harbaugh and Wilson wouldn't have worked?
I don't think there's anything that only because I've seen Russ with my own eyes for the last 2 years. And I don't think that, I don't know, we've worked together. I don't think that, would you consider me a Russ hater? I don't think I was a hater. No. I don't think I was a hater, but I saw firsthand his limitations. And
those limitations didn't seem to be totally on display in a run first offense with Seattle, did it?
No, absolutely
not.
It would
have been a similar offense.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah. I think Russell Wilson is a pretty good quarterback. And he certainly has been better than pretty good at various times in his career. No question about it. I get now, and I understood then, why he and Sean Payton weren't going to work.
Payton didn't like him. No. Personally, he can say whatever he wants. He did not like him. You could tell from day one.
Well,
some of the things that he said.
And he ain't there anymore. So there's, I mean, there, yeah, there's, not only did it not work, maybe they didn't see eye to eye, all of those things. We are in a different place now, and the Broncos were more than willing to eat a whole bunch of money just to get rid of him. So,
but you know what's funny? We're going to talk about this later on in the show, how Monty Williams is collecting $85 million for not working. Meaning, yes, he's getting the money, so this isn't an apples to apples. He's collecting that money, but the owners are clearly willing to give that money up.
Yeah.
65 with the Pistons, 20 with the Suns. What's the math on that?
85.
What are the Penners eating with Russell Wilson? Same amount.
The difference, of course, is
one guy's getting it, one guy's not.
Well
no, actually, he is getting it.
He's getting it, and then the Broncos are getting it in a figurative sense.
So really, what is the difference between Monty Williams and Russell Wilson?
Because there's a salary cap involved in the NFL.
I understand that.
Affecting them.
I understand that. But what we have been saying about Monty Williams is he's unemployed, right? He's unemployed, and he's getting all this money. If Russell Wilson was unemployed, guess what?
He'd be getting the money.
Same thing. So what's the difference?
Right.
There's no difference.
No. The difference for the individual is none.
Right. That's apples to apples.
The other part of
it. I understand the salary cap, but at the end of the day, it's still the same thing. You have a guy who is not playing for a certain team, guy not coaching for a certain team,
and
who's getting a big chunk of money if he never played again, if he never coaches again.
Two guys that were essentially paid to go away.
Right.
That's it.
Coming up after the break, Pete Futak of the College Football News had some interesting stuff to write about Deion Sanders going into year two. It's provocative. And in a lot of ways, it is accurate. And in a lot of ways, it's not very complimentary. That's next. I don't care about spots on my apples. Leave me the birds and the bees. Please, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone. To be back.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we're...
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Right now, Roller Auctions, they can turn your assets into cash. They are accepting right now consignment for construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call, 303-289-1600. Make some cash or go to rollerauction.com/sell to inquire about selling. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar. One big party under one big roof every Friday, Saturday. Live music, no cover. They have pool leagues, not with just a table. They have 15 pool tables. They have dart boards. They have pinball leagues. They have everything. Great green chili. And the best happy hour on the planet, which is every single day of the week, Monday through Friday, 3 until 7, 2 for 1 on all wine, well, and drafts. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Castle Rock Men's Health and Castle Rock in Aurora. See why Eric only trusts his health with Dr. Lee at Castle Rock Men's Health.
By the way, you can find Greenfields in Lakewood. We have some breaking news here. The Broncos have hired former Stanford head coach David Shaw as a senior personnel executive in their front office. If you don't know his history, he is best known for being the head coach at Stanford. He has been in the NFL in the past. And while he was in the NFL, he helped develop Andrew Luck, Rich Gannon, Josh Johnson, just to name a few. Any thoughts on bringing him in? I'm not saying is it a surprise, but no, overall thoughts.
No, we didn't know about the potential for the union, so that surprises you on some level.
Does David Shaw have any connection to the Saints?
No, but they worked together as young assistants with the Eagles.
There we go.
And so there is a relationship back. David Shaw was the guy whose name was mentioned.
Right.
When the Broncos were had an open spot for head coach. So a guy that has a tremendous reputation, a guy that has NFL roots, obviously is deeply rooted in the college game as well, but another sensible, experienced voice, of which, to me, you can never have enough of.
Yeah, you can't have too many smart guys in your organization.
That's my feeling. I'm with you.
Yeah. All right, with that, I want to tell you about this story that was written by Pete Futak of the College Football News. Wrote this about Deion Sanders heading into year two. Moving from the Pac-12 to the Big 12 may offer a slightly easier schedule, not by much, though. Bigger issue is patience. There isn't much. In an era dominated by the transfer portal, continually upgrading to better players isn't a crazy idea, but under Sanders so far, Colorado has been all frosting and no cake. The infrastructure is not there. There's a reason Colorado won only one game 2 years ago. Okay, and then last year, there wasn't a good base to build off of. And you can make the case that's why they won four games. Transfer portal works best to find finishing pieces, not to make wholesale changes. This season will either elevate everything from 2023 to a new level or be a hot mess of a reality show that fails spectacularly. I know you hate when I do this. You probably know what's coming. You can't go 50-50. You got to go 51-49. 51-49. Buffs go to a new level, or this is a reality show that fails spectacularly.
I think I don't have a sense right now, other than Pete makes a pretty interesting point that it's easier in the portal to find finishing pieces than to make wholesale changes. With that in mind, I probably would go with the latter, because I do think it's hard to build an entire program from the transfer portal.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row.
What's next year going to look like? Well, I'm not going to like this, Louie, and now I'm going to go and get some more stuff?
Well, I mean, that's what else would you think it's going to be? That's how they function.
Okay. I want you to explain this, because you were there during the heyday of Kansas State football.
Right.
One of the biggest criticisms of Bill Snyder, my opinion, a top 10 coach of all time, Bill Snyder built his team early on, specifically through JUCO transfers.
It was that era's transfer portal.
So what is the difference between what Bill Snyder did and what Deion Sanders is doing now?
They hit the ground running with recruiting at the high school level as well. And that's the thing that he doesn't get as much credit for. They were, yes, the top-end guys were junior, especially in the first few years, were junior college guys. But they were starting to build the base of their program as well. But Coach was, and he was a character guy. And he swung and missed on a few guys during those years, without question. But by and large, was able to identify culture, good culture guys. Coach was always in homes, too. That's how Kansas State made their way. They hit the ground running with really aggressive young coaches getting out and recruiting. And they recruited and got into homes. And Coach Snyder, I can tell you this about Coach Snyder. Parents meeting Coach Snyder had all of a sudden were like, oh, okay, this is the guy I want little Jimmy playing for. Now, maybe it wouldn't work in this day and age. Who knows? I can't see Coach wanting to have been a part of football in this age. Yet, they used it in a very similar fashion, at least for the first few years at Kansas State. And it was brilliant.
Let's look at the trajectory of what happened with Bill Snyder.
Sure.
And now Deion Sanders.
Because there are similarities.
There are lots of them.
Yep.
When Bill Snyder took over Kansas State in 1989, the team was winless in 1988.
And had like one win in the, one or two or three wins in the four previous seasons. Awful.
Sports Illustrated, this was hammered home to me when I got to Topeka, Kansas in 1992. Kansas State was named by Sports Illustrated as the worst program of the 1980s. Bill Snyder's first year, they went 1-10. Okay. The following season, a four-game improvement. They went from 1-10 to 5-6. And then in year three, 7-4. Right?
Right.
But they did take a step back in 92.
And then now, then it was game on.
Well, when I got there for the 93 football season, which I was there, I was not there for 92. I, unlike you with the Broncos, are a bad luck charm. I was a good luck charm.
Yes, you were.
My first year there, they were 9-2-1.
Yep.
Went to the Copper Bowl. I'm sure you were there.
I was.
I was there as well as Chad May feasted on Ryan Yarborough and Wyoming.
Yes.
Feasted.
And from that point on, they were playing, I believe, in 11 straight bowl games and then had a run of 5 years in a row where they finished in the top 10 for five straight years.
They had 8 consecutive years starting in 1993 of 9 wins or more. And 5 of those seasons were 10 wins or more.
Right.
And 4 of those seasons were 11 wins or more. So why can't Deion Sanders do the same thing?
He's hoping that he can do the same thing.
I'm going to tell you why.
Sure.
He's not as good of a coach.
Well, yeah, I would.
Yeah. Not even in the same league.
No.
Deion Sanders learned coaching through Jerry Glanville, and Bill Snyder learned coaching through Hayden Fry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bill Snyder, his coaching tree is incredibly impressive. The Stoops brothers.
Yep.
Let's just start right there. Sanders' coaching tree right now is coaching with other teams after year one.
Yeah, there's, yeah, I mean, it's probably not fair to make that that comparison. You're right.
I'm not making a comparison. I'm just stating facts.
No, you are stating facts. And but if Colorado can be, I don't have a lot of faith that they can, that they're going to be a 9-3 football team.
No.
Sorry,
Joel.
I don't.
I know you think that
contend. He was on the selection committee. So, I mean, let's take it with at least a small, even though I have great respect for him.
I have great respect for him as well, but he's already 0-1 with John Embry.
Well, okay.
Along with many former Buffs who used to play there.
Yeah.
Who jammed John Embry down Mike Bone's throat.
I'm not going to say that Deion Sanders, I'm not going to try to revise my history. I thought Deion Sanders, and I still think Deion Sanders, was a stroke of genius to make that move. I thought it was,
yes.
I thought it was a very shrewd move by Rick George. And I commend him to this day for making it.
It was the right move to make.
Having said that, they are at, and are they at a pivot point? They are at a pivot point for where they are with Deion Sanders. You can look back 2 years ago and in the years previous and say, Colorado hasn't been a factor in fill in the blank. Too many years to mention. They are at least a factor in college football, if not competitively in other ways. They're going to be on national television in 2 of the first 3 weeks, blah, blah, blah. So they have got a great, they've got a reputation which precedes them, and that's all because of Deion Sanders. But there has to be something more substantial than there was last year. From that standpoint, we are at a pivot point with Deion Sanders. Now, what's CU going to say if this thing goes 5-7. What are they going to say if it goes 4-8? I don't think it will. But where do you go then?
So do you think, because let's be honest, Shador's going to the NFL. Travis is going to go to the NFL. Shiloh, I believe, is in the final year of his eligibility. Mm-hmm. And Deion's daughter just left Colorado from the basketball team. Does it really matter what the record is this season, whether it's 9 wins or 5 wins? Do you think that will affect at all Deion Sanders' decision on whether or not to stay or leave?
I don't know if it will or not. I suppose, would he like to stick it to the naysayers? Well,
without Shador and Travis, good luck.
But I know that he still feels like he can recruit and can still bring in players. I just want to see if...
He can recruit?
Well...
No, he can get transfer guys.
He can get transfer guys. But...
Yeah, I got Jordan Seaton. Please. Okay, I get it.
That was your one high school guy.
Just,
and it's a good one to get.
Just because you hit a home run doesn't make you a home run hitter.
No. That's one guy. And
Cormani McClain failed miserably.
Let me ask you this. He wins 9 games this year. How attractive is he to other programs around the country based on his performance and the way that he's handled the situation at Colorado?
We'll talk about that next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle at Eric Goodman right now. Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. They're accepting consignments of construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call today. Make some money. 303-289-1600 or go to rollerauction.com/sell to inquire about making some money.
See you goes 8-4.
Before we get to that, it's time now for the
thing
that we like to call What's Trending.
Yeah. What's Trending is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to rollerauction.com/MHS and they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
I started at 9-3. I'm going to go to 8-4.
Yep.
CU goes 8-4 this season. A four-game improvement over the last year. A seven-game improvement from year one. They play in a solid bowl. They're threatening the national rankings.
Not at 8-4, they're not. Unless they start like 7-1.
8-4, you never know. I mean, whatever. It doesn't make any difference.
Go ahead.
How attractive a candidate is Deion Sanders for programs out there, presumably Power 5 programs out there, that want to build?
It depends on the cachet of the athletic director. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
So, I'll start by saying this. I say this with all due respect to Rick George, who ran the Texas Rangers. He has a pretty impressive track record and history.
Yes, he does.
But what has he done that is significant as the AD at Colorado? Didn't hire Tad Boyle. Didn't have good football coaching hires. Okay? And it got so bad, he needed to hire Deion Sanders. If you are an established athletic director, are you willing to give up any say that you have over the football program to bring in Deion Sanders? Now, you can make the case, you know, how influential was the athletic director at Alabama when Nick Saban was there? Mm. Or at Clemson with Dabo Sweeney? Or at Michigan with Jim Harbaugh? Let's be perfectly honest here.
Sure.
But there is a difference between those three coaches and how they handle themselves on a daily basis and Deion Sanders. How is your sports information director going to feel knowing that you basically are not only powerless, but you lose all control over everything outside of putting together game notes on a Saturday and picking out the food selection for the media? Because other than that, those are your roles. Everything else, when it comes to promoting the product, you're out. It's Deion's son.
Right.
So with that, are you willing to give up everything?
Yeah, total control.
For Deion Sanders. And then all the bravado that goes with it. However, you're getting a lot in return. If he goes 8-4, you're getting a lot in return.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of press, some of it good, some of it really good, and some of it maybe not so good.
Yeah, the good, bad, and ugly. I think a self-assured athletic director would not
touch.
Would not touch him.
And oh, by the way, I said this months and months ago, and I believe this today. Colorado does not have this great treasure chest of donors. They just don't. Not compared to SEC schools, major schools in the Big Ten.
Sure.
Deion Sanders answers to no one. I am guessing, I know he can hobnob them. I get that. I mean, he would be great in a room and people want to be around him.
No question.
But I'm guessing with Nick Saban, there was just a little bit of, I know I have to kiss a little ass to get what I want.
Yeah.
Especially with the NIL collective. And a lot of coaches are leaving because they don't want to have to do that.
Right.
Do you think donors are going to donate money if they feel that they have zero say? And Deion Sanders saying, no, this is my way. Even the best coaches out there know where their bread is kind of buttered with the NIL collective.
Especially in this day and age, right?
I don't think that Deion Sanders has the capacity to be humble.
Or the desire.
Nope.
So
he has such a running start because he's been so successful as an NFL player and as a Major League Baseball player.
Sure. No, I mean,
I'm Deion Sanders, and I answer to no one. And at Colorado, he answers to nobody. Nobody. That's what you're going to have to deal with. When the Texas A&M job opened, Texas A&M doesn't want Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders is the football program.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M, they are the football program.
Yes.
No coach is bigger than the program.
12th man, 105,000. I mean,
at Alabama, you still have all of that history
there.
Nick Saban was the program. I get it, but it's different.
There was a guy named Bear Bryant there before him.
There was a guy named Bill McCartney here too. Bear Bryant.
With all due respect, I'm not going to compare Bill McCartney and Bear Bryant.
I certainly understand that.
But no one is going to argue Colorado's tradition over Alabama's.
No.
Because there is no comparison.
A team that hires Deion Sanders will be a bottom feeder in the SEC, willing to give up complete control. That's the type of team that will hire him. And then the circus will come to town.
Yeah. Because do any of us really believe that this is going to be any less of a circus this year?
It's a game-to-game thing.
Right?
You just have no idea what's coming out of his mouth.
You don't know.
Nope.
I mean, and you don't know whether they're going to win.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
This WNBA rookie is going to be out for the remainder of the season.
Caitlin Clark?
In the NHL, with some crazy offseason trades yesterday. We'll discuss that more on the other side on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, smileysports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Right now, Roller Auctions can turn your assets into cash. They're accepting consignments of construction and contracting equipment, tools, supplies, and more. Give them a call today, 303-289-1600. Make a little extra scratch. Go to rollerauction.com/sell to inquire about selling. So, again, you can make some extra scratch. Saw this story, and Bruce, I think you might fall over in your chair when you hear this. You and I are veterans of the television business. If you are interested and you are a young sportscaster and you want to break into the business as the sports director, main sports anchor of a television station, there is a job open. We are not here to be indeed.com, but I just want to let you know about it. Here's the listing for the job in Binghamton, New York. Responsibilities: shoot, write, edit, anchor daily sportscast, one person sports department. It's exactly what I did in Whitefish/Kalispell, Montana. Your salary will be between $15 and $16 an hour. But you will have help. You will have help. Because you will have an intern who gets paid $15 an hour. Same salary pretty much as you. How's that sound?
Pretty appetizing. Not.
The intern is making as much as the sports director who has all the responsibility.
Right.
By the way, this is a Nextstar station.
Oh.
Are you owned by Nextstar?
We are.
Oh, good. I have the numbers in front of me. Would you like to know the net income of Nextstar from last year and what the CEO makes.
I know that they had a remarkable first quarter. I know that.
I'm talking about 2023 as a whole.
No.
Nexstar made $346 million.
There you go.
And they're just giving a taste to the new sports director. The CEO made $29
million. Ah. Did the CEO's intern make $29
million? Probably close to it.
Good.
Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfields has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it.
By the way, before you get going, I want to get something back to something we talked about a minute ago. David Shaw just got hired
right, as
the senior personnel executive. Is this a foreshadowing of who the new GM might be?
Ah, fair question.
What do you think? That's why I asked it.
No. I think Peyton stays.
Sean or George?
Well, I think both.
Okay, just checking.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, while the Stanley Cup playoff finals are still going on, Game 6 tomorrow night, there were some offseason trades yesterday, some big moves. The New Jersey Devils acquired goaltender Jacob Markstrom from Calgary. The Sharks acquired Barclay Goodrow from the Rangers. And Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to Washington for former Avs goaltender Darcy Kemper. With all these moves going on, do you think that we can see Avs GM Chris McFarland make some moves in the upcoming weeks?
Moves that he possibly that he can,
yeah, I'll try.
But I, you know,
they're up against the cap, man.
They've got more challenges than other teams do.
Right now, their sights are set on Drouin and Middlestat.
Right,
they want to bring back their own guys,
and that's a great place to start.
And Drouin's going to have to take a hometown discount.
Yes, I would think so.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, this WNBA rookie, Cameron Brink, is going to be out for the remainder of the season.
She is.
With a torn ACL, and she will miss the Olympics as well, the number 2 overall draft pick.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, so.
All right.
We got Caitlin Clark!
She was averaging 8.1 points, 5.7 rebounds, and 2.5 assists per game. Brink said this on her Instagram: "You never think it will happen to you, and despite the hard work, sometimes it does. This is hard to fathom, but I will come back stronger." What are your thoughts on the rookie getting injured with an ACL?
Well, I know this: there will be a lot of conversation about Caitlin Clark replacing her on the 3-on-3 team. If that ever happened, it would immediately make the 3-on-3 team a hell of a lot more interesting to watch and to follow than even the full squad of 5-on-5 for the U.S. But I digress. I don't think it's going to happen because Brink is, what, 6'4", something like that? They need I think just from a standpoint of piece to piece, they need a big for the 3-on-3. But fun to think about.
If it wasn't for Caitlin Clark, would you even know the name Cameron Brink?
Good question.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
Not for casual sports fans.
No.
I think there will be villagers outside of the WNBA office and the Olympic office and wherever they're making this decision. The villagers will be outside with pitchforks and torches.
We want Caitlin.
That's right. And by the way, I know she's 6'4". Talent is still talent.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
And by the way, it's not like when you play international ball, you got to go up against a front line that is 6'9", 6'10", and 7 foot.
You're playing 3-on-3. I mean, the middle is not quite as congested as it is with 5-on-5.
Right.
You can get by with, I don't know, I think it would be cool.
And that's what was said about this whole decision. Maybe Caitlin Clark gets on if there is an injury.
Yeah. I would watch the 3-on-3 if Caitlin Clark was playing.
No.
Probably not so much otherwise.
Right.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, the College World Series final is set in Stone, Tennessee, making it to the final for the first time since 1951 after they defeated Florida State 7-2. This is their program's first chance to win a national championship, but a number one seed has not won it in 25 years, last being Miami back in 99. What do you think their chances are against Texas A&M, who will also be making their first championship appearance?
Well, I mean, you've got two teams in the SEC now, right, playing for the national championship. I've watched a little of it, but not a ton. I don't think it'll probably be appointment viewing for me, but more power to them. I mean, at least they are teams that have not been dominant in college baseball. Even though they've been really good, they haven't been in a position to win a national championship. I guess that makes it somewhat interesting.
Well, we know where Peyton Manning's going to be.
Yep, we do. And good for him that he continues to support Tennessee.
Well, yeah,
in those ways. I think it's great.
A lot of guys support their alma mater. Unless you're Warren Sapp unless you are Michael Irvin and you're repping Buffs gear and you went to the U.
Yeah.
At least Warren Sapp is on staff.
Yeah. But I think it's cool. I mean, yeah. But guys and gals rep programs that they played in.
Right.
Not necessarily always other programs that the school is involved in.
If I played for a college team and I was a pretty good player, even if I wasn't, I would never put on somebody else's hat, somebody else's jersey. I wouldn't even think twice about it. Would you?
No, I wouldn't.
No.
No, of course not.
Please. No. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brett and Gordon, great job today. Same with you, Bruce. I'll try and do better tomorrow. Make the best possible day you can. I just want